time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Fellas, it's opening week. How was it?
We actually have some real live football to talk about.
Yeah, all right. That was good. That was a good change.
And we didn't go 0-for-4 on the locals. That's a plus.
However, I'm 0-1. So yep. I got to step my game up.
You're the one who was talking trash at the beginning of the year last year.
I didn't know that I was ever going to be involved. So you felt safe at the time.
I could throw stones
from the other side of the canyon. Yeah, gotcha. But now I'm in it. So I have to step my game up this week.
Well, now you need to be in it to win it.
That's exactly right. I didn't know I was going to be in.
Hey, I want to talk about some stuff other than the local stuff because I thought there were some really interesting games out in the area. And a couple of games that really jumped out at me were Franklin won 56-0 over Rogers. I thought Franklin would be good, and I said we talked about that in the football section story that their defense was going to be better, but doesn't look like the offense has dropped off very much either. I was really impressed by that score.
Well, when you talked to Coach Hedrick at Franklin, he had a really good feeling about the defense. That's where your good feeling came from. And Mike's not the kind of guy that gets all flowery and goes out on the limb about stuff. He's old school,
right?
And that's what you would expect from somebody in the Hedrick family coaching tree. And actually, one of the main off branches. So you expected them to be good, but Rodgers usually is pretty good. Rodgers went three rounds in the playoffs last year. Yeah, but Rodgers going all the way back to the Lee Fedora time, I think they like their offense over there. Now, I know it's different when you get a new coaching staff in, but it does get your attention when Franklin goes out and shuts them out.
That one impressed me. And the other side of the ball, when we talked about Leon and Keith Sitton talked about how good his offense, he said it might be the best offense he's had since he's been the head coach, and they go out and win big over Normandy as well, and put up 46 points in doing that. I was really impressed with those two scores. Those two really jumped out at me. And, of course, those guys will meet each other the final game of the regular season, so we're a long way from that. But I thought those were two really big games that just leaped out at me, 46-8 over Normandy.
And Leon, I just look at the information that we had here. It looked like it was spread out. You know, Coach Sitton told you they had a good offense, but I don't think just relying on one person. It looks like they had three guys run for 100 yards each. That's a pretty good balance.
Yeah, and that's what they thought they'd have. But again, their defense played well also because Normandy went three rounds in the playoffs. Granted, it's a new coach there, so they're changing the system as well in Normandy. So that might have been part of the situation there. But I just thought that was pretty. Those were two pretty impressive games. Maybe the upset of the week, though. I thought Chilton was deep in the playoffs. They lost to Iola in a game that they played over here at Bryan, and Milano goes out and beats them in the opening game of the season. I thought that was another really, really good win for the Milano Eagles
for the area.
Yeah,
and when I talked to their coach, and when we were working on the preview, he felt pretty good about some of the guys that they were getting back. They had a defensive back, a guy who was their starting wide receiver and starting safety. And when you're talking about Tua, if you have a really good athlete that plays both ways, you lose him. I don't know if he broke his leg or broke his ankle. Anyway, they lost that guy the second game of the season, and I think that makes a big difference. But it seemed like to me that he felt pretty good about what they had as well. So some of the teams in the area that you never know, David, because we go into the regular season, everybody's optimistic. You know, last week when everybody was undefeated, There's not too many coaches that are telling you and me, well, it's going to be a rough year. Yeah. We don't have very much. But those kind of wins are sort of,
well, long way to go, but yeah. But it's a great way to kick off the season, I think. I mean, if you're going to try to get yourself going on what you think can be a really good year, that's a pretty impressive way to do it.
Well, those three teams that you mentioned, too, that Franklin and Leon and Milano – had success last year and are basically successful programs. I think Leon in particular maybe is trending upward from where they were before. But when you have a program like that that's had some success and loses some people, and then they come right back out and have success early and maybe win either more convincingly or more impressively than you thought, I think that gives them a boost going forwards. Now, the other thing that you talked about in terms of the area schools is, obviously, we got some teams out there that won state championships, and you said going into the year that you thought Navasota and Cameron and Bremon, that all three of those teams were going to be good again and maybe good enough to contend for another championship.
Well, I think they are all still good enough to contend.
They didn't do anything this first week to change your mind.
Yeah, Bremon won over Hearn 66-14. I'm just going to grab the scores. The Yeoman their win was particularly impressive. I mean, they beat Conley 63-14. So I mean,
if that game had been Cameron 45, Conley 35, or something like that, it wouldn't have surprised you
hardly.
But to win that convincingly, it's an awfully good start for the Yeoman. And I found it interesting. I guess you pay more attention to some of these things than I do, but the Navasota victory over Nuevo Leon on Saturday, the team from
49-12,
Mexico,
right?
What probably you said was more impressive than people might have thought, because you expect Navasota against that team for it to be a rout, and obviously it was a very convincing win. But you said that's a program that's getting better, and
they
so
are.
It's maybe a little bit more of a meaningful win, and particularly if they're playing people like Navasota.
And they are playing good people. They beat Galveston Ball right after the Navasota game last year. So they were 2-2 against Texas teams a year ago. So that program, which came in here one time looking for games to play, now and they'll take any games they can get, and they usually just got hammered, they came in and have played very well the last couple of seasons. I thought that's not by any means a bad win. And how can you say you win 49-12? It's a bad win anyway. But I thought Navasota, I thought that was a good win for them. Saw a lot of photos of post-game things where the teams got together, which I thought was pretty cool too. And I was really impressed. They're all over the map with that schedule, because you're looking for people that will play Navasota. There aren't a whole lot of them out there. And then you take down the line, we're talking about Bremon getting the win. Bremon's going to, instead of an easy game that they would have had it somewhere down the line, they're going to play Mart this year. So they swap some games. So people are trading up for tougher games. I kind of like the way those teams are starting. The other team that won a championship was the TCAL championship, was the six-man championship for Allen Academy. And they lost big to Coolidge in the opener, but keep this in mind, Coolidge is a really solid Division I, 1A school, and they made a good run early, had some injuries late and kind of fell off late in the year. But a loss to Coolidge is not anything to feel terribly bad about, but it's not something they're used to at Allen Academy either.
Okay, we got a few minutes left. We'll do kind of the Reader's Digest version on the local public schools, and we'll talk about them more as the week goes along. Just you and Aubrey went over to Montgomery. Probably that would have been a win for the Vikings did you not have Aubrey in the booth with you. But that was a game. That was a frustrating start to them, and as we pointed out, they were frustrated with the way they started against Montgomery last year and got on a roll.
It looked like a lot like they did against Montgomery last year. They didn't play well. I didn't think their offense got much of – and Aubrey can kind of back me up on that. I thought their offense was – you talk about people being pedestrian. That was a little worse than that.
They had like one drive where it was like, oh, okay, I see what they were trying to build up, and that was it. I mean, other than that, they were terrible.
And the thing is, I still do believe that there's a lot of quality in that offensive line for Brian, but I blamed a little bit of the problem, their breakdowns, on what the offensive line did. I think the defense showed a lot for Brian. I thought they're going to be a really solid defense. I think maybe – now, I'm not going to tell Ross Rogers how to make a call on what to do that, but I thought they looked their best when they attacked, as opposed to sitting back just trying to play a standard defense. When they attacked, those guys were scary good.
Then the game that I covered, A&M consolidating Copper's Cove, was really a stunner. 51-14.
Got A&M consolidated a couple of votes in the AP poll this week.
Well, looking at the game, I think Cove is young and rebuilding, and in particular the quarterback, having to replace their quarterback, made a big difference. It didn't complete any passes in the first half, but Consolidated's defense did play much better. It gave up 150-yard touchdown run and not a lot of huge plays other than that, which has been the thing that's really killed them. And then offensively, I tell you what, the guy, if we were picking a Brazos Valley player of the week, you know, there's a guy that had much better statistics, but Kobe Peel from A&M Consolidated had a remarkable, I sort of say, debut.
It's an offensive defensive game.
He played at the end of last year as a true freshman, but this year he was coming in and he was going to be their stud guy at safety. He played well at safety, had an interception and returned it, I think, 47 yards. But they're running him at receiver in just certain packages. He caught like five passes and two of them for touchdown.
Right.
And just
did he pick off a pass too?
He also intercepted a pass and returned it 47 yards. So he had a big game. And David Raphael had been telling me that he thought Mason Hickson looked like a different quarterback than what he was last year when they played Copper's Cove. I didn't see that as much during the scrimmage, but he certainly looked the part Friday night. On the other hand,
I've always liked Hickson, and I heard some criticism of him last year, and I thought the criticism was because he doesn't have the arm that Kobe Miller had, mm-hmm. and you don't have to have the arm right. that another guy had if you direct the offense well, and I always thought he did
right.
that well.
He really did a good job of getting the ball to the right people. Tyree Merchant had 170-something yards in the first half.
Right.
Yeah, so they were big time. A huge win for College Station. I talked to Steve Huff this morning. I also talked to the Waco High coach that the Cougars would be playing this week.
One of Johnny Tusa's old guys,
yeah,
right.
And I'll be heading over to College Station in a couple hours to do a feature interview. But 45-0. Over a Terry team that beat them in the game that you covered last year. That's a pretty impressive bounce back. Steve Huff really liked his defense. And the interesting thing is we went into it saying, can they stop that Veer attack? But there was a lot of questions about Reese Easterling because he was taken over. Everybody knew about Ty Brock. He breaks his leg in the scrimmage. It looked like to me they're going to be okay on that side of the ball based on what I saw. And if they play good defense, I think they'll figure out what the people they have. I think they have enough weapons.
Hard to lose if you're shutting people out.
Yeah, I think they have weapons over there, and they have some guys that they'll be able to score some points with.
I thought pretty good game, even though they lost it 28-10 for Rutter, because they didn't get a lot of yardage offensively, but I thought they hung tough with a very athletic and a very large team from Shoemaker, so I thought it was a good start for Rutter as well.
Well, and Brad Cox went out and covered that game for us, and as I looked at Brad's game story, the thing that catch your attention real quick is the two defensive linemen from Colleen Shoemaker who are both committed to SEC schools. And you go, okay, you didn't see that in a lot of places. Now, I mean, the guys at Montgomery stunted and did a lot of things that made it difficult for Brian. I don't think two of the Montgomery linemen are going to go play at SEC schools. The Coppers Cove guys.
Those schools are Alabama and LSU,
yeah.
by the way.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. So,
I don't know if that matters, but not Vanderbilt.
Yeah. But actually, Friday night, I can't get Aubrey to do it, so I'm going to be driving over to Killeen to cover Rutter and Ellison, and I think that'll be really interesting to see. It'll give us a good measure, I think, of Rutter, because that was an encouraging performance, but where do they go from there?
So. And they'll get a different kind of team, a little bit more based on their offense and the quarterback. And I like Rutter's chances in a matchup like that a little bit better. They're going to beat Cedar Creek. I really believe that. And they play the game three here. But it could be a huge step if they can get a victory there.
Aubrey, we got 1 week in the books, and considering David's virtually guaranteed us two or three teams going to, what is it, NRG Stadium?
NRG Stadium.
For the championship.
Yeah.
That means we got about 14 or 15 more weeks of this.
So you're saying when I go down there Saturday for the A&M game, I need to
save a parking spot. Yeah. We'll be back for state championship.
Leave a coat over one of the seats because I'll be back.
Yeah, right? We'll leave a letter to the teams that are going to make it. What was it the team did that one year in the flight? Do you remember that, the Super Bowl? They like left them notes in the locker room or whatever.
Is that right?
Yeah, they said they were going to be back for whatever it was. I think it might have been some title game. But they played in the same stadium early in the season and left themselves a note in the locker room.
Like, I'll be back.
And right. Came back and got it at the end of the year. So there you go.
Hey, Kim, the AP poll came out today. Cameron, of the 25 votes in the AP poll in Class 3A, Cameron got 25 of them.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Good.
Even David got that right.
Huh? There we go. It was a fun week one. Moving on to week two. Got to get back at it. That was today's High School Report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer proudly supporting the youth of our community. And I think technically that was week zero, right?
They changed it to week one.
Okay,
now.
Good.
Although one of the coaches did call it week zero.
Okay, good. I didn't like that. All right. So now that we got that sorted out, good. We can move on to other things. All right,
could it be week 0.5?
Oh, Larry, don't even get us started.
I'm sorry. I think it's time I take the headset off.
We got to go to break. We'll come back, wrap up with the news. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.